Good morning. It's time for chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, and Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. The Reverend Dr. Paul Philp is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The epistle reading for the Festival of Epiphany is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the third chapter. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew, the second chapter. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the gospel of the Lord.
So which king is your king? There's plenty to choose from in the text. There's the king that these magi from the east are looking for. There's the king they end up visiting first. And of course, there's plenty who will tell you that these magi, however many of them there may be, however you wish to number them, that they may have had some sort of kingship about them too. So which one are you going to latch onto on this feast of the Epiphany? The text begins with a little bit of background, and then there's a question. And while the question is technically correct, the people asking it don't really seem to understand the gravity of what they're asking, nor does the person of whom it's being asked quite expect the question. Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Now, those asking the question seem to be asking it because they have followed this sign, this star, which they saw rise in the east at his birth, and it has led them to this place, to Jerusalem, to the king's palace, to the wrong king at the moment, to Herod. And Herod seems to have no concept whatsoever that there's been any king born or that his kingship is in any way, shape, or form in danger. But now he's quite agitated about it and quite concerned. And as Matthew tells us, all Jerusalem with him. And well, they should be. For as a result of the asking of this question by these magi, in just a few days, hundreds will be slaughtered and put to death. Those holy innocents whose martyrdom we observed but a few days ago, as this wrong king tries to protect his reign. So what of these magi? Here they are, having followed a star, having ended up where one would think they might, if they're looking for a newborn king, at the king's palace in the capital city, assuming a royal birth, but not necessarily fully or even partially understanding what really has transpired. So they ask this wrong, dangerous, agitated king a question. A question with an earthly vision in mind. They're there to worship this new king, perhaps to make new alliances and to forge a better future between wherever they've come from and the Jews. But there's no good answer. Herod doesn't know where anyone's been born. He calls together all of his wise individuals and scholars, and from somewhere in the midst of them comes one who's been doing a little bit of reading and quotes an ancient prophetic text from Micah. Go look in Bethlehem. And so they go. But before they go, Herod makes sure he knows just when the star appeared, so he knows just how old those children should be that he ought to kill, and then he sends them on their way. And they follow the star, this time informed by the word, and they end up at the right king's house. They enter into the house. And what do they find but Mary and Joseph and the true king? The king they have been seeking, even though they did not know who he was. The king who is not there to rule over Judea in some earthly way, but the king who has thrust himself into the creation in order to redeem it from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. Resting in his mother's arms, and we're told they are filled with exceeding great joy. And as that great joy fills them, they place their treasures before him, their gifts that they have brought to him as acts of worship, and fall down before him. Probably still not fully grasping in whose presence they worship. But warned in a dream, they don't return to Herod, and they go back to their lives, back to their own land by another route. with a new king that they have worshipped. So which king is your king this morning? If we're honest with ourselves and the reality of our sinful lives and the things that we seek after, all too often we fit the mold of Herod much better than any other king in the text. At best, we might be hapless wanderers, not quite knowing what we're trying to find. Misguided and misdirected by the world around us, infected with our sin, our eyes blinded to the true King, filled with the sinful desires of our flesh, interested in our own kingship, in whatever little kingdom we happen to rule over. But that's the wrong king to be. In fact, we ought not be seeking to be a king at all, but rather rejoicing that a king, the one true Christ, has come from his throne in heaven to us, to those under his rule, those whom he created, those who rejected him, and has brought us back to him, has sought us out in whatever wrong place we've been in our sin, has drawn us to himself by the guiding not of a star, but of his holy word and the power of his Holy Spirit, by taking our place in death, being slaughtered like those innocents that Herod killed not long after our text, but not at the hand of that Herod, but at the hand of Pilate, the Jews, not in Bethlehem, but on Calvary's cross, not for his own accord or anything that he had done, but for you and for me. It's the reason he's there when the Magi come to find him. He's there waiting in that place to fulfill all things, to suffer and to die for the sins of the world, and to rise victorious that we might have life. And just as by a star, and later through the word of the prophet Micah, quoted by some nameless person in the text that Herod called upon, the word has come to us. It has pierced the darkness of our sin, and it has fallen upon our ears, and it has pointed us to that same King. Not held in the arms of Mary or in a house in Bethlehem, but today held in a chalice and a ciborium on the altar, in his body and blood given and shed for you, that will be poured into you as the medicine of immortality, that you might have eternal life in him, your sin forgiven, that you might find him later seated upon his heavenly throne, where we together with the saints and all down through the ages will fall down and worship him, not with any gold, frankincense, or myrrh, but clothed in the white robe of his righteousness, which he has won for us. Which king is your king this morning? It is the King who has come to save you, who has sought you out where you were and come to be with you, that you too might be where he is. It is the King of Calvary's cross, the King of the empty tomb, the King who raised you from the dead in your baptism, the King who gives himself to you this day. So let us rejoice. Let us come and adore him. Let us fall down before him and receive his gifts. For the King is here today for you. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for Deaconess Caitlin and Giancarlo Ramirez, who serve the Lord in the Dominican Republic. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.